It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the Beckler and Shauna Pisscast.
Yeah, it is.
I'm whooped, Shauna.
I know, me too.
Our new bosses have a new program for us for social media. They want a certain number of posts every day.
Mm-hmm.
They want lots and lots of social content.
Yep.
So we've been doing that and, you know, having some fun with the stuff that we've been making.
Yeah.
But it's it makes for an incredible pace on the show in the morning. I'm sweating. Look at my pits. You shouldn't sweat when you're doing radio.
No.
This is not a sweaty profession.
No.
But,
Yeah, it's, and my eyes hurt because it's nonstop looking on phones to try and post there and then looking back on the screens to just make sure it's up and then trying to do the show. It's
so much video editing, so much.
A lot, yeah.
On top of like, you know, the regular show that we do. So,
yeah,
the morning has a breakneck pace to it and
it sure does.
Feels like you're just keeping your head above water all morning.
Yeah.
And now we have just a moment to breathe here. So,
yeah.
Whew. Hopefully you're enjoying the content that we're putting out. On today's show, it's Tuesday, which means it's career day. We chat with an advanced care paramedic today. It's an interesting job. You can imagine the paramedic sees lots of stuff. So a friend of the show reached out when we started the segment, said, I'm a paramedic. I'd love to come on. And we said, we'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
We're still booking guests. So if you know of anybody who you think would be interesting to talk to about their job, we'd love to hear from them. A service that the fancy hotel Shauna stayed at last week offers.
Yes.
An etymology ahead of baseball opening day later this week. Some more questions for the Calgary citizenship test. A fashion trend. I don't know if you're going to be on board with this or not, but it's coming.
Yep.
It's coming this summer.
It is. Get ready for it.
Talk about parent-teacher interviews and a group Shauna is part of. That and more after your Out of Context clip.
I'm Shauna, 8.5 size shoe.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Recently on this show, we've been taking our new favorite clip.
Real Badman.
And dropping it into famous movie quotes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And those are all available on our podcast if you want to go back and listen.
Yeah, of course, all the time. Yeah.
Do you want to do with some famous speeches, Shauna?
I think so.
Maybe not necessarily movie quotes for sure, but speeches, famous speeches that we all know. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd like to
share? I mean, let's kick it off with the most obvious, perhaps.
I have a dream.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
One day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all
real bad man
created equal.
I didn't know when it was coming.
I know,
I
that's like, the thing. It was a long payoff for that one.
It was
one.
A good payoff. But that was a good one. Oh, man, can you do that to MLK, though?
Oh.
Well, no. How about, I feel just as bad doing this to one of my favorite guys, but here we go.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for
real bad man.
It's funny how his transmission got all clear there at the end, right?
Yeah, totally.
I didn't realize that Neil Armstrong called himself a real bad man, but there it is.
No, now we know. And this was a very famous speech by Obama, of course.
There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's
real bad man
of America.
Right?
Yeah, I can
get... the real bad men of America.
I can get down with that, America.
Yeah. The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I'm part of this group on Facebook, Beckler, called the Dull Women's Club. So a friend,
this is exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, a friend told me about this, and I was like, this sounds intriguing. So I joined, because I wanted to just kind of linger in the background and see what happened. And it's just as it sounds. It's a bunch of women who... they're self-proclaimed dull. So they talk about the dull things they do, staying at home mostly, knitting, that kind of thing, making simple meals. And then they, this is really funny, but they start every post with their shoe size.
Oh, man, that's so super funny.
That's, it'll just be like, Britney here, size 5.5 shoe. I just made spaghetti and now I'm watching Wheel of Fortune.
So it's like a real dull fact about themselves.
100%.
And then they launch into
that's
it.
That's why. And I was like, that is phenomenal. Can we start that here?
Is this local or is it like...
It's local.
Like it's a Calgary thing or is it all over the place?
Sorry, it's not. It's all over the place. Yes.
And are they all single women or... Are some of them in?
Some of them are married. Yep, yeah, but just lead dull lives.
And they're proud of that.
Self-proclaimed dull lives in every which way.
There's something to be said about living a quiet life and just enjoying your simple things. I respect that.
Now, here's the thing. There's some turmoil, though, in the Dull Women's Club right now because apparently there's some women who aren't dull enough. So one woman just announced that she's actually leaving because she's like, you guys aren't dull. She's like, you're all lying. You're actually not the dull people that I need. I came here wanting like-minded dull people, and apparently some people are too interesting for her. So she's leaving the group now, along with a few others who said, you're right. Yeah, this is not dull enough for me. You guys are talking about things that are a little more exciting than we'd like. So
the pace is too quick for her on that site.
Yeah, she was very unhappy about it.
Kind of like there's a subreddit called Mildly Interesting. And if anyone posts anything that's too interesting, they'll hear about it.
That's pretty funny.
Easy there. Easy. Let's not get excited. This is.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the dullest person I know and if they belong in the Dull Women's Club. I'm just trying to think.
I mean, I'm in the club.
No, I don't think you're in the Dull Women's Club.
I mean, well, you know.
They would be horrified by you and some of your adventures.
I'm Shauna, 8.5 size shoe. Okay, can we start every break that way, honestly? The Beckler and
Shauna podcast. I forgot to tell you we had parent-teacher interviews the other day.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
It was good, yeah. It's basically the only time we get to see inside the school and talk to the teachers and stuff. So we did the interviews, and then the boys were showing us around their school and stuff. And we walked past the gym, and we popped our heads in there. I was like, they're like, this is our gym. And there was a lady in there, and Brigham was like, that's the gym teacher. Mm-hmm. I was like, why don't we interview with her?
Hmm.
We only ever interview with the classroom teacher.
Right.
We don't interview with the music teacher.
No.
Or the gym teacher.
Those are important too.
Gym is a subject.
Yeah.
So is art.
Mm-hmm.
So is music, but you don't talk to those teachers.
Interesting. I never thought of that before. Yeah.
You just talk to the classroom teacher. I want to meet the gym teacher.
Yeah. I suppose it's because you spend most time with your class teacher, but
I think so.
As you say, it is important to know that as well.
Yeah. We've heard about how they're doing in math,
mm-hmm,
and reading and writing and all that.
What about Jim?
How's his dodgeball arm? Is he bringing the high heat? I hope so. The Beckler and
Shauna podcast. I was at the mall on the weekend, Beckler, and I passed the store that I normally really like, and they were selling what looks like granny panties.
Oh.
But as shorts. Like, they were full out just underpants that were a bit longer, and they were higher waisted, and they were identical to granny panties, and they had them on this model, but as shorts. And I was confused because this was not in the lingerie aisle, and they had them right there, and it looked like they were with full...
What was the material?
It was...
Panties?
It was panties material. Oh. It was a panties material that was... And I looked at this, and I was like, what is going on here? And I was a bit confused, so I looked into it a little bit further, and I was like, is this like an actual style that we're going to see more of? And sure as hell, if you go online, they're talking about how granny panties is now a thing that people are going to be wearing out.
I guess when you think about it, the cut is very similar to shorts that people are already wearing. Like
I was going to say.
The shorts that some women wear at the gym, mm-hmm, or like even some of the shorter bike shorts, like, yep, those style, they're basically granny panties.
And we always talk about it, and I'm like, I always assume it's just going to get shorter and shorter. Like when you go and you look at Stampede and everybody's got the Daisy Dukes that are already showing your waffle, then I was like, how showing do we
your,
get
showing your potato corner there?
Showing the old potato corner, yeah. And I was like, how do we get more risque than that? And here it is. It's granny panties. I mean, this is actually a little more coverage when you think about it. Just the material now is extremely thin. So
okay, so it's more, mm-hmm, of a material thing then.
Yeah,
than a cut thing.
That's just it. So now your Chuchman's Gooch is going to be bright see through.
Chuchman's Gooch. Yeah. I like that one. Okay. I like that a lot. It's funny because so many, I mean, people
more
like,
pronounced,
don't want to be seen in their underwear, right? It's like, oh my God, but it's this, it's almost the same as a bathing suit. It's the exact same amount of skin showing.
You're right.
But like people would be horrified to be seen in their bra and panties.
Yep.
But then a bikini is the exact same thing. That's never made sense to me.
No.
Check your panties.
Check them. Check those panties.
Check your panties.
You just got to
check your panties.
Check your granny panties.
Check your granny panties. And that's what we're going to see. Honestly, though, for me, I'm like, it's one less thing to worry about, right? I don't have to worry about pants anymore. I can just put my underpants on and walk out that way. So there you go.
You going to be wearing granny panties this summer, Shauna?
I think I might be testing out the granny panties. The bloomers? Can we say that?
Check your panties. Check your panties. Check your panties.
We have it on both sides here. So we can both
firing it off. It's, yeah.
Check your fashion forward
grab granny panties.
Check your panties.
Check them.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
We put on the new Mean Girls movie.
Yeah.
As a family. Have you seen the new Mean Girls, Shauna?
I have not seen the new Mean Girls.
You've seen the original, the 2004
movie. Of
course
I have.
Yeah. Everyone loved that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I liked it. McKenna liked it. The kids liked it. Everyone was pumped that there was a sequel. The problem is, I feel like I knew this at one point and forgot about it. We may have even talked about it on the air. The sequel is a musical?
Yep.
Ooh.
We did talk about that on the air. I was a bit sad about it because, yeah.
And I forgot.
Yeah.
And we put it on as a family.
Uh-huh.
And it's a musical.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to, it's almost a shot-for-shot remake of the 2004 movie.
But it's in just, musical
but,
form?
But then there's just like every few minutes there's a song.
So let's take the stable movie that everybody loved and just frig it up by making it a musical. That's what they've done?
Just like that. Yeah, because it was a Broadway production.
Yeah.
That I sort of get.
That's fine.
And then,
I mean, Broadway, yeah.
This is a film version of the Broadway version of the original. And the music is just...
Okay. I never...
Full musical.
Nope. That encouraged me to not... I'm good.
So we had, as a family, we were all settled on the couch, you know, all settled in for movie night, and then they started singing each other.
Oh.
They started singing, and it was just like, we all looked at each other like, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
It's a musical.
Uh-huh.
I got a photo of McKenna at the exact moment that she realized it was a musical.
Yeah.
And she has this, like, look of disgust.
You would, yeah.
I'll throw that up on our social channels. Because she's almost wincing, like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Nope.
Man, old surprise musical strikes again.
Also, like, Mean Girls was fine, but it wasn't that good that we need 3 remakes of it. You know what I mean?
I really liked the original Mean Girls.
I thought it was a classic. No, it's worth... That, I don't...
I think there needs to be some sort of labeling system on musicals, though. It should be required by law, because we have been greased a few times by this.
Do you remember that we talked about this? They intentionally left it out because they were afraid that people wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they said they didn't let on that it was a musical because they wanted people to start watching and then get sewered by it.
Leave it out of the trailer and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like those parental advisory stickers that they put on albums in the 80s? They started, you know, the whole Tipper Gore PMRC thing.
Mm.
We need that, except it's a musical advisory.
Yeah.
Warning, goofy ass singing ahead.
I'd be good with that.
Proceed with caution.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I believe it was last week that we talked about having a Calgary citizenship test.
Yeah, you had a list of things that you think every Calgarian either knows or should know.
Yeah, and I was thinking that maybe we should add to this. And then after we talked about that, we actually got some submissions from friends of the show, too, who said you should add this to the Calgary citizenship test as well.
Yes, and we're planning to put together an actual test that you can take to see if you qualify as a red-blooded citizen of Calgary. That video also where we discussed it originally is up on our social medias.
Yeah, you can quiz yourself with the original questions I asked Beckler and see if you get all those right as well. And
I did pretty good, didn't I? Did I get them all?
You did, I think. Yeah.
I liked some of them were like fairly well-known and some of them were a little more obscure.
Yeah.
But you should still know.
Mm-hmm. I thought I'd get into some more for you.
Let's see. I love that.
Let's hit you with some more.
We'll
and
keep
also,
adding to this too if you...
I was going
to
say, if you guys listening have additional questions, please let us know, 238X929 or like add on our social media and stuff because we will make this an official quiz down the line
that you
here.
Can take. Yes.
Who were the mascots for the Olympics?
Heidi and Howdy.
Yes.
And I wasn't even alive for that.
No. And that's this one that's so well known. What year did the Flames win the cup?
89. My birth year.
Yep. What was the prosperity bonus that everybody received in 2006 nicknamed?
Ralph Bucks. And I think it was $400, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was $400. Okay. Where was the first IMAX in town?
Ooh.
This is a toughie. I wouldn't know this one, I don't think.
I have two guesses and I don't know which to go with.
Okay.
I'm going to either go with Chinook or Etelespark.
Eau Claire.
Oh.
Eau Claire was the first IMAX in town. Yeah. Who was the quarterback that brought the Grey Cup back to Calgary?
In what year would that have been?
Oh. The year I don't know. The person I know.
Henry Burris?
Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie, okay.
What movie featured Calgary and a Jamaican bobsled team?
Cool Runnings.
Ah, yes. Name three bars that were on Electric Avenue. This one might be tough because we weren't around for Electric Avenue.
Right? I don't know if I can name any bars that were on Electric Avenue.
No. Some of them, Coconut Joe's, The Fox, Three Cheers, Shark Shack. The list goes on. There were quite
a few. Again, I wasn't alive for this.
Me neither. I know. That's a tough one. Name the famous actor who tried out for the Stampeders at one point.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Ah, yes. Where did Mayor Klein like to drink?
Oh, at the Cecil.
Yes.
Yes.
That famous hotel that used to exist, yeah.
Yeah.
Heard all good things. The original name of the Calgary Tower.
The Husky Tower?
Yes. And name one famous Calgarian from Crescent Heights.
Oh, Tegan and Sarah went to Crescent Heights.
Yep.
So did Tommy Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody else?
Ralph Klein as well.
Okay.
And the first female black lawyer in Canada, who we did a heritage moment with
just
did recently.
This.
And she's from Crescent Heights as well. What is her name? Oh, that's going to kill me.
We just talked about her.
Mm-hmm. I just remember she's from moments. There too, and that's so stupid.
Yep.
How embarrassing. Neither, we both failed because of that. But you did damn well. There you go.
Thank you, yeah.
More Calgary citizens should test questions.
I'm okay with not getting the ones that happened before I was born.
Yeah, before your time's a bit tough, for sure.
Yeah, but like not only were those bars closed, I wasn't alive.
I've heard the legend of many of them, though.
Yeah,
like Coconut Joe's same. Always comes up. Everybody always talks about Coconut Joe's and how insane that was.
Okay, well, we'll grab a few more of these questions.
We will.
We'll throw them onto an actual test.
And we will.
Quiz your friends.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
We have to issue a bit of a correction here. It wasn't the Cecil Hotel that Ralph Klein used to drink at.
Although it was the St. Louis.
It was the St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of people texted and corrected us. If you ever want to get a lot of texts, you just say something wrong.
Yeah, totally. We actually might do a Heritage Moment on the St. Louis tomorrow.
I don't think I've ever been in the St. Louis because it's still, the building still stands.
Yes. Right?
But what's in there now? Because the King Eddie is part of the National Music Center, right?
Yes.
And that's the one where they have like the venue and the Rolling Stone studio bus. It's very cool if you've never checked it out.
Is it just like a municipal building or something now?
And then the Cecil they tore down.
Yes.
All these old hotels in the East Village.
Yeah.
What about the St. Louis? I guess we'll find out.
Yes, it is. The sign is still there, but it's not still there.
But the building isn't there.
Yes. I know exactly where it is, actually. That's where the place that you can fill your growlers is. What's it called? That's not going to help anyone. Anyway,
the place
we will
where you can
look,
fill your beer growlers?
Fill your beer growlers, yeah.
We'll do a Heritage Moment. We'll find all about that.
Yes.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast is brought to you by Shane Holmes. They're building in Sirocco at Pine Creek. You can get paired homes, Shane Holmes' famous paired homes, where the yell test approved duplexes.
Yes.
Make as much noise on one side of the wall, your neighbors on the other side won't hear you. We've tried it. It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's very impressive, actually.
Their most really popular is. Floor plan, the Cascade, is available in Sirocco at Pine Creek. Learn more at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast. Etymology with Shauna.
There she be. We have a couple for you, leading into, of course, the baseball season about to kick off.
Yes, Thursday, I think, is officially opening day
Thursday.
For most teams. So.
Yeah, the Jays, I believe, play at 2 o'clock or 2:07 on Thursday. I forget what the... Oh, no, it's away, so it would be 2:05. Doesn't matter anyway. Because of that, we have a couple of etymologies to do with baseball.
Yes.
The first one is a can of corn. So this one might be a little bit inside. If you don't actually watch baseball, a can of corn is basically a lazy fly ball that's pretty easy to catch. That's what a can of corn is.
Yeah.
A can of corn.
This is really funny, Shauna, because my son Bo had a baseball camp last year. And
yeah.
The instructor was talking about a can of corn pop fly. And he said, go home and look up what that means if you don't know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I didn't go home and look it up. And then a video came down my feed last week explaining where that term comes from.
Yeah. So my boyfriend he played baseball pretty high up, and he sent me this etymology because it was probably the same video that he saw.
Probably.
And he said, you probably want to use this for the show. And I was like, that's great, leading into baseball season. So there you go. So the reason it's called a can of corn, it comes from grocery stores. So 19th century clerks at grocery stores and general stores and wherever, they were looking for an easy way to get a canned good from the higher shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, of course, store canned goods all up and down. So they used this long hook and this stick that it was attached to, and kind of knocked it off the higher shelves with that stick. And then they would catch that can with their apron.
Right.
And then they would, you know, then carry it on and you'd take it or whatever from there. So it was kind of an easy, obviously, way to catch it with your giant apron there, and you'd catch the canned corn there. But that's where it comes from.
I did not know that before this video showed up.
And then we got a message from a friend of the show, and
I think it was Ray Lynn.
It was Ray Lynn. And she said, have you ever looked up ballpark figure and where that comes from?
That's an interesting one.
No.
So you say, I don't know how much. Well, give me a ballpark figure.
Like a rough estimate,
essentially.
How much
is it going to cost? Yeah.
So that just comes from the ballpark has a set number of seats. So on the day of the game, commentators would always estimate the number of people attending the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that just became known. That figure just became known as the ballpark figure. It was a rough figure, but it was a literal ballpark figure because it was the commentators estimating how many people were in the seats, but they didn't know exactly. Now, of course, we have tickets that scan and
right.
we can actually get exact numbers, but back then they just look and kind of estimate based on how many people they saw.
And they'll announce the attendance at a game, and it's often inflated a little.
Yep,
and
totally. Yep, always to make it look better. But yeah, that's the ballpark figure.
Did you see what the Oakland A's are doing? I think it's for their home opener.
No.
They're going to have a huge tailgate party. And no one is supposed to go into the stadium because they're protesting ownership and the plan to move the team.
Oh.
So the idea is that everybody shows up to support the team in the parking lot.
Nobody enters the stadium. I wonder how that's going to go.
So the ballpark figure for them will be...
Zero.
Etymology with Shauna.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I was staying at the fancy Chateau Lake Louise this weekend.
Chateau Lake Louise.
Yeah, my sister and I treated ourselves. We can't really afford it, but it's fine. But I got really excited because I was told that if you leave your shoes outside the door overnight, that they have a shoe fairy that comes along and shines your shoes.
And shines them? Polishes them up for
polishes
you?
Polishes them up. So I was like, well, I mean, I think that we should try this out. I mean, I don't stay at fancy hotels. Maybe this is a standard thing at fancy hotels, but I'd never heard of this before.
Neither. I've never stayed at a hotel where they clean your shoes.
Nope. So I brought a few different options. Seriously, that's exactly it.
Count that as a big win.
I know. So in knowing this, I brought a few different types of shoes. I brought my cowboy boots and my own boots and my Wonder Woman boots. And then some stripper shoes.
Okay.
Which are my Vegas shoes, but they look straight like stripper shoes. And I decided to just put them all out there because I was like, I don't know which boots they'll take or what they actually do. So I left them all out overnight and was like, let's see if the shoe fairy comes.
And
sure as hell, the next morning,
all your shoes were clean?
They were all bagged up and had service little things, and they were all clean.
Wow. That is service.
Unbelievable. I was just like, what just happened? Including the stripper shoes.
You ever get a glimpse into like rich people life and you're like, oh, this is what it's like?
Oh, yeah.
That seems really nice.
That's what happened. I actually took a video of it because I was like, I want to see if this actually works. You can find it on our socials, but it was of this exact thing. And you can see all of the shoes that are all bagged up and the stripper shoes are extra shiny. They were so, I don't know what they, like, these shoes have gemstones and stuff on them that make them really reflective.
Well, they really are stripper shoes, hey?
They full out stripper shoes. And they were like reflecting on the walls. They were so bright. So I don't know what they, I'm sure they just once them over. They were pretty dirty. But honestly, I was just like, this is amazing.
Wow.
These are the things that if you stay in fancy hotels and you can actually afford it, you get, I guess, as part of your...
You know, you package. Told me how much you paid for that hotel, and it's more than I've ever paid for a hotel.
Yep.
But then you've been telling us about all the little perks that you get on top of it, like the free food and stuff, and like there's drinks that come along with it, and your shoes get shined. And when you add all this up, it's like, well, it's really not that bad,
though. I know. Well, we actually did the math, and that's the reason that we stayed, because we were like, well, if you calculate the free meals and... Then you go and you get extra plates of free meals, and then you steal the plates.
And then you get all of your shoes shined. You bring them all from home and you shine them up. I don't know if that's what the service is for, but...
I don't know, hey, but they were very nice about
it. That's frugal. God bless you for taking advantage of that. Yeah.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Beckler and Shauna's Career Day.
This is the segment where we talk to interesting people with interesting jobs or interesting people with plain old regular jobs. Our guest today is someone that hopefully... You won't have to see, but you'll be glad that he's there when you do. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Certainly. So my name is Kelly Moronic, and I am an advanced care paramedic who's been working in the city of Calgary now for about 6 months. But previous to that, I worked in Edmonton Metro and up in the North Zone.
How many years experience do you have as a medic?
So 4.5 years working on the ambulance. And before that, I spent about 4 years working oil and gas, so 8.5 years total.
Okay.
You said advanced care medic. What's the difference between that and just medic?
So There, here in Alberta, we have a couple different designations for level of training. So our lowest level is EMR, or Emergency Medical Responder. That's kind of like a first aider who can do a few drugs, so oxygen, helping people with their own medication. That's kind of our entry level. Mm-hmm. Next, we have our primary care paramedics, formerly called EMT. They make up a majority of our employees for the ambulances. They can deliver most medications, they can start IVs, they can run fluids, manage about 80% of all calls. And then on top of that, we have our advanced care paramedics like myself. We have the narcotics pouch, we have a higher scope of practice. When you hear about an ALS ambulance being used, that means that there was at least one advanced care paramedic on that ambulance.
Do you have to have a certain number of each in a truck at any time in an ambulance, or is it just kind of whoever's available?
So typically, an ambulance, especially here in the city of Calgary, you're going to be running with one primary care paramedic and one advanced care paramedic. There are situations, though, where we have BLS ambulances, which will only have two primary care paramedics. If they need ALS interventions, they can call for backup, or they can have a paramedic that's in an SUV come and join them.
I was going to ask about the SUV, because I see those around town, and I'm wondering who is in those.
Yeah, so those SUVs, we call them PRUs, so they will typically have an advanced care paramedic. Majority of the time, it will just be an advanced care paramedic. Every now and then, those guys are also our supervisors. If you ever see the SUV without any lights on top, then those are our community care paramedics. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What duties do you do that people don't realize as a paramedic?
You know, that's actually a phenomenal question. I think some of the duties that we do that the general public is not aware of is there's a lot of a social work component to the job that kind of gets glossed over. You know, we're dealing with people of all socioeconomic statuses who, you know, don't get the education on how to access the services, right? With such a large and diverse healthcare system that we have, whether it's with AHS, Covenant Health, all the extra players in the game, we do a lot of social work. So that's helping people figure out their benefits, helping people get connected with resources, stuff like making referrals for people who maybe have a lot of falls in their home. So we'll make a referral to an occupational therapist who will be able to then go into people's homes and say, hey, you're not living your best life. What do we need to do to make sure that you can A, stay at home, and B, live your best life? And that contact is usually initiated by EMS.
Interesting. I didn't realize that. No, I guess you guys kind of are like the point men for a lot of different medical calls for service, hey?
Yeah, and especially because the way how EMS has kind of grown as a profession, we have become the designated fixers. And so when people don't know what to do or how to solve a problem, they'll call 911. And if your house isn't on fire and someone hasn't stolen something from you, well, then that comes down to, we'll send an ambulance and the ambulance can go figure these things out for you. Mm.
Do you get a lot of training to be and do that part of the job? Or is like...
You're just kind of figuring that out as you go.
You're just figuring that out as you go. I mean, the great news about EMS is we have a lot of people with diverse backgrounds. So we have people who have social working degrees. We have people who maybe were once teachers that now came into the job. You know, we have a lot of tradespeople. So because we have such diverse backgrounds coming into the profession, when we do face these situations, maybe you don't know the answer, but your partner is like, oh yeah, I experienced this thing before. Here's the solution for it.
You'd think that they'd have actual official training, as that's such a big part of your job, but I wonder if maybe down the line that will become part of training, especially as you said, as things are morphing that way.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely the future that's coming this way, is that we're going to start receiving a lot more training, because I don't think everyone realizes how much social work is involved in this job. Like, yes, it's heart attacks and strokes and exciting stuff, but it's also a lot of, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
You often get called by people on the very worst days of their lives, is that accurate?
I would say that, yeah.
Yeah. How do you deal with the things that you see in this line of work? And what are the calls that really stick with you?
So, I mean, two parts to that. So when you get called to grisly calls, you kind of know that that's what you signed up for, right? It's part of the job, but it's also telling yourself, A, this is not my emergency. Right? I didn't do this. I'm not the one who caused this to happen. This is just another day in the job, and you just go with the flow with these things, right? And with experience and time on the street, you do start to get used to seeing a lot of these things. Now, there's still some stuff that I think the saltiest paramedic on the street will still go, oh my, that was quite intense. But, you know, there just comes a lot of familiarity with it. But then on the other hand, it's having good peer relationships with people, accessing our peer support, accessing therapy, and even just sitting down and talking with your partner after the call and going, what the heck was that about? And, you know, being able to share and commiserate in what we just went through together.
Do you think that anyone could be a paramedic, or do you think you need some sort of emotional
fortitude
to go along with the job?
I think anyone can be a paramedic, and you can learn how to become resilient to these types of things, right? At one point, all of us were your average Joe Blow on the street, and we just happened to get lost on our way to college and ended up becoming paramedics. And so you had to learn how to build up this resilience. And I think with enough time, everyone kind of figures out their own way on how to tolerate seeing these calls.
How do you personally deal with the stress? Like, what are the methods you use to kind of get over it?
Oh, I'm an avid fly fisherman. I am out on the Bow River on all my days off trying to catch a big fish.
Well, that's nice and peaceful, eh?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely. And especially living here in Calgary, that was the one thing I missed when I was up in Edmonton is, you know, having great outdoor access. And you'll see that even in our profession, a lot of people are very outdoorsy. It's, you know, getting after on the weekends, going for snowboarding, skiing, hiking, a lot of fishermen, and then just having hobbies and that are not related to the job. So myself, I run a small business on the side. That keeps me out of trouble, and that's because it's disconnected from work. It gives me a chance to put everything away in my brain, and then the next tour, I'm ready to go.
It's funny you mention that, because my friend who's a firefighter, he is a big fisherman, and he has his own deck business on the side too. To keep him like, yeah, okay, cool. And I mean, you're allowed to do those kind of part-time jobs because your hours are a bit strange, I'd imagine, right? Or your days on and off?
Yeah, so we typically work 4 days on, 4 days off, with 2 days and two nights. So it's basically like every tour that you work, it's like going in on a long weekend.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
And then you get your 4 days off. So with those 4 days off, you can do whatever you want.
This is a bit of a strange question, but how do you handle a patient who is far, far bigger than you?
You go to the gym on your days off and make sure that you can lift a lot of heavy weights. And then it's all about teamwork, right? This job is never a solo job. There's a reason why we're called a pair of medics. Right? There's two of us to help with these lifts. And if we get to the extra hefty boys, the 400, 500 pounders, which they are frequent.
Yeah.
It's getting your friends involved. So whether that's calling for another unit to come help lift, whether that's calling for the fire department to maybe come and help us with extrication, it's just about getting enough hands on site to help move people around.
Well, it's one thing we had never considered, and other paramedic friends of the show had pointed out that it's an incredibly physical job.
Yeah.
It is. And here in the city of Calgary, you don't realize how many fourth-story walk-ups there are in the city.
Right. Yeah, so without any elevators or anything that you guys... Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you'll go to a call, and you walk four stories up and realize, oh, no, I left a piece of equipment in the ambulance. That's a long way back.
Yeah, or you got to move a big person down those stairs, hey?
Yeah. So those are the days my back isn't the happiest. But, you know, it's the reason why we go to the gym, right?
Yeah.
For the longest time, you know, it was all over the news and everything. We were hearing about Code Red, where there were just no ambulances available in the city of Calgary. Do you know where we're at with that? Like, how are you guys finding your time management? And are you just swamped all day, every day, or...
So I can't speak specifically about the Code Red stuff. We kind of dip into that AHS policy talk.
Yep.
I can comment, like, our days are never the same. So you'll have some days where you're doing 8, 10, 12 calls, which is a lot of calls to be going through a day. That's basically one an hour. But then you have other days where you only do 2 or 3 calls in a 12-hour period. So it's really hit and miss every single day about how busy you're going to be.
Are there things you can look for on the calendar that tell you you're going to be busy?
Well, everyone knows when the full moon's coming out. Like right now, we have a full moon, so yeah. Night shift is going to be chaotic. Benefit payout days are usually pretty busy for us. You can tell when those have come out. Okay. And believe it or not, Monday and Tuesday are one of our busiest call days because everyone's too busy having fun on the weekend to be sick. So then Monday morning, it's like, actually, that thing I had on Friday, that's still there, so I should probably get someone to check that out.
It's funny you say that because we've heard both of those things before from people who deal with emergencies and stuff. Yeah, like the full moon for some reason, and yeah, people will wait till after the weekend because you don't want to go into the hospital and ruin your weekend. Yeah.
Exactly. Why would I ruin my weekend with this little inconvenience when I can just wait till Monday morning, you know, not go into work and get checked up?
And call an ambulance.
Yeah.
And call an ambulance.
What's one of the crazier calls you've been a part of? Like, I know you've probably seen some grisly stuff, but is there one in particular that really sticks out in your mind as just a crazier call or a unique one?
Well, I mean, if we go with unique, it would be having to helicopter someone out when we were out in Banff, Alberta, with some lady, 92 years old. She was out hiking for her weekly hiking trip and fell down and broke her ankle. And just where she was on the trail, Parks Canada had to bring a helicopter in, slingline someone down to the patient's side, hook them up to the wire, and fly them over to our ambulance and put them on our stretcher.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Any advice for someone wanting to go into this career, Kelly?
Yeah, so the advice I typically give people is start small and work your way up, right? If you go try and go zero to hero, you're going to have a bad time. So start off simple. Get your first aid, get your CPR, and ask yourself, okay, how bad was that? If it was easy, move on. And then start exploring other options. Go find out if you have a local volunteer fire department that you can maybe get on with. Get some exposure to calls that way. And then just start working on the process. Get your EMR and get your PCP. Go work for a little bit and really figure out if you like this job.
Did you always know you wanted to be a paramedic, or how did you get into it?
If I'm being totally honest, I wanted to be a firefighter. When I was 16 years old, my high school put out a news bulletin saying the Calgary Fire Department is having a fire cadet program, which is still ongoing right now. Did the Calgary Fire Cadet program, got exposed to the emergency services that way, and went, wow, this is really cool. And so went to school, got my EMR, worked as a sports trainer on the side while also being a volunteer firefighter out in Bicester, Alberta. And then I went up to the oil field after I got my PCP, worked up there for a bunch of years. And then my time came to an end when we had that little flu bug come through. And that's when I got back on truck. After working for a few years, I realized that I don't have enough skills and education and knowledge for the job. That's when I made the decision to go to NEAT and get my advanced care paramedic and move back down to Calgary so I could be close to the mountains.
Well, quite the journey.
That's pretty much all the questions I had, Shauna.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well,
that was awesome.
Kelly, thank you for your time today, man.
Oh, thank you guys. When I heard this going on, I was like, heck yeah, we got to do something about this.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna download it daily to whatever device you use. Later.